It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. As a college student, what was your approach to financial planning? Did you even have a financial plan? The fact is that many students do not. The Missing Semester is a financial planning book written by local investment manager Gene Natale Jr., Senior Vice President at C.S. McKee. He and Katz School of Business Professor Jay Sukitz are holding a student panel on financial literacy this Friday at the University of Pittsburgh called Money 101, Taking Control, where college and high school students from around the region share their financial planning stories. Gene Natale Jr. joins me in Studio A. It's good to have you back with us.
Paul, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Also joining us by phone is Jay Sukitz. Professor Sukitz, thank you for joining us. Good, thank you. And also with us in studio is Matt Sowers, a recent Pitt graduate now working for PNC Bank in Pittsburgh. He is the keynote speaker at Friday's event. Matt, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
Gene, explain the meaning of the title of your book, The Missing Semester. What's that all about?
So the title, The Missing Semester, specific to the subject, Money 101, some call it financial literacy, and April is Financial Literacy Month. This is a subject that impacts every single graduating student, be it high school, be it college, and even the dropouts. And candidly, it, in my opinion, is the most undertaught subject in America, hence the title, The Missing Semester.
And so you just explained the title of your book. Why was it important for you to write it?
You know, the answer sometimes surprises people. We didn't write it because we saw a gaping need in the schools, even though it existed, and there are certainly schools that are making good steps. We wrote it because of the number of folks we saw in their 20s and their early 30s. Good jobs, very solid educational background, yet because they simply were never taught money basics, we're in a really tough financial spot.
And Professor Sukitz, short of reading The Missing Semester, how can people go about building a financial timeline?
Well, it's actually something that is quite simple, but I think at first glance looks really difficult, and mostly it's because not too many of us get the real basics of a financial, especially a personal financial education, early on. So if you don't establish a foundation, it becomes difficult. I think what you really need to do, it's so important to educate yourself. It's important to take control of your financial life. And as Matt can tell you, Matt was one of my students. In fact, he was an outstanding student. Matt can tell you that the financial plans that I have students do essentially plan a 1-year, 3-year, and 5-year horizon. So that if you're talking about a timeline, you have to pick some place to start. That might be with your first job. You make your 1-year horizons very specific goals that you know you want to hit. And that might be, you know, beginning to pay down your student loans, starting to save for any sort of an emergency situation, and investing in your 401k. Your 3-year and 5-year goals can be less specific, but they might be a reach, some goal you really want to achieve. But that's what you've got to do. I think way too – and by the way, one of the reasons why I started students making up personal financial plans a couple of years ago was because – everybody I seemed to talk to, and everything I was reading in the press, especially the fact that students, college students in Pennsylvania, have the third highest student debt of any state in the country, led me to believe that people were getting good jobs, but they were kind of like living from paycheck to paycheck and not really planning what they were doing.
Matt Sowers, you read this book. What is your takeaway from it?
Well, it's directly related to what Jay had us do, that 1, 3, and 5-year financial plan. About a year ago at this time, I had no plan. I knew I had a job. I knew what my income was going to be, but I didn't have a plan in place. So after reading Gene's book, which was very easy to read, I actually read it on a flight. And from the moment I stepped on to the moment I stepped off, I learned about credit cards, student loans, how to buy a car, just all these things that aren't taught in school. So for me, it was really coming up with that budget, establishing an emergency fund, and just knowing where I'd like to take my debt repayment, because I do have student loans. And it's a reality for a lot of students, especially in Pennsylvania, as Jay just mentioned. So, just really coming up with a plan and knowing where I'm going to take my future.
Well, it's a reality to the point where some students are being discouraged from studying the thing that they want to do in life. For example, we hear sometimes that students that are interested in dental school, for example, are being told, don't do it. You will be in debt. You will be struggling to pay back those loans for the rest of your life. So as we look at this student panel that's taking place this week, there are a number of schools participating. What do you want the students to take away from this event Friday, Money One-on-One, Money 101, Taking Control?
So exactly that we as individuals have a great deal more control over our financial future than we might be taught. Matt's a great example of the influence that a class like Jay's can have. Jay and I have a great passion for this subject, but to hear from 16 students, each with individual backgrounds, each with individual goals, and each of the students have taken actions already, be it high school or college, they've taken actions to take control. So it's a positive use of the peer-to-peer influence.
What fears do students have? I mentioned earlier this fear that either they have or that is being instilled in them about pursuing the dream that they have because, whoa, you're going to get into all kinds of debt and that is not a good place to put yourself in. So are they fears that students should take to heart, and what advice can be given to them to maybe allay those fears?
Well, the first thing is to understand that these fears are realities. I mean, student loan debts, they come due 6 months after graduation. Once November hits around for a May graduate, you know, you're on the clock. So you have to have a plan ready in place, allocate how much you can actually spend on your student loan repayment. But there are other things, too, involved. I just opened up my first credit card over the summer. And
you did not have a credit card in college.
I did not have a credit card in college. For better, I believe.
I think that was probably a pretty wise plan.
Yeah, so once I did that in June, you know, someone like myself with very limited credit history, I'm only given a small credit limit. But after practicing good habits, which are outlined in the missing semester, for example, paying off your credit card balance every month, some people don't understand that. But that's how you start building good credit. So 6 months after opening up the credit card, I was able to extend my limit. And, I'm on pace for a healthier financial lifestyle.
Jay Sukitz, how early should students start saving for college?
Well, I am a proponent of saving regardless of what you're doing. Let's say you're mowing lawns as a freshman or sophomore in high school. You don't see too many of those people anymore, but when I was a kid, a lot of my contemporaries made money doing that. I'm always a proponent of saving at least a third of what you're making, especially when you're a kid. You should start saving really early. The problem that we run into, because you brought this up just a couple of minutes ago, Paul, the problem we run into is that, number one, college expenses have outstripped inflation over the last 30 to 35 years. Part of that is an increased demand by the fact that so much money is being pumped into the system, especially from the federal government. So you get these imbalances, especially at very expensive institutions, where you've got maybe half of the student body paying. And I'll just give you an example. I went to graduate school both at Carnegie Mellon and Harvard. And if you look at the statistics of both of those schools, especially their graduate schools, but I think this is true of their undergraduates as well, about half of the students pay full tuition, and about half are getting some kind of assistance. So when you have that, by definition, demand increases. We have an enormous demand for our places at Pitt. We had 19,000 applications last year for the class starting in 2013 for 3,500 places at the main campus. So what you find are people who have to go to some source of income, whether it's grants, scholarships, or loans. So I would suggest you start saving really early. And the other thing these days, it's more and more critical these days, I think, than any time, to select a major or majors that are going to pay off. You see this basically in research all over the place about what majors have the best return. So you were mentioning dentists a little earlier. quite frankly, what happens a lot is you get undergraduate students who might major in something like, you know, theater arts or something like that because they have a passion for it. That's fine, but I would suggest to them that maybe they want to have a double major in something else that they can fall back on so they can get a job if they can't get a job in theater arts. We had two people, Gene can tell you this also, we had two high school students, or one high school student on the panel last year whose parents were both physicians, and they were both in their 50s. And she said that her parents, now both of them in their 50s, both doctors, they were still paying off their student loans in their 50s.
Mm.
So I would say, you know, save a lot, save early.
Right. And maybe not major in or have your only major be existential philosophy.
Yeah, you know,
There's anything wrong with that.
No, there isn't. And, you know, we have students that do this all the time. We have students that will major in something like sociology or philosophy, and then they'll also get, because we have a program where you can get a dual degree, so they'll get one degree from the College of Arts and Sciences, maybe in sociology, and they'll get another degree from the business school. And so there's a really good combination of things where you've got something to sell, to market, plus you also can stay within that sort of passion that you have.
So don't limit yourself.
I would not limit myself, no, not at all.
April is Financial Literacy Month. We are talking about a financial literacy student panel being held at the University of Pittsburgh on Friday. It's called Money 101 Taking Control. We're talking about that here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Our guests, Jay Sukits, who is a University of Pittsburgh professor, along with Gene Natale Jr., who is author of The Missing Semester and senior vice president at CS McKee. Also with us is the young man who's giving the keynote address at the financial literacy panel on Friday, Matt Sowers, a recent Pitt graduate. For parents who don't know how to talk about money or don't know much about money themselves, what are some resources or approaches that you found to be accessible for high school and college-age students, many of whom will be taking part in this panel on Friday? Gene?
I'll build off of your previous question to Jay and his answer with the answer to that question, Paul, because whether you want to be a dentist or theater arts or business, I think the important thing is, one, talking about it with someone. Don't just go blindly into that career. Talk about it. See if the dollars and cents add up. And if it is a passion, the dollars don't add up, think of a plan B, a way to make it happen. And that's what the strength of the financial plans that Jay has his students do. And he didn't mention it, but there's actually a partnership here in Pittsburgh through Junior Achievement where high school students are creating personal financial plans, and Duquesne and Pitt students are then reviewing them.
So that's one thing that seems to click with students. Does it help to use cautionary tales to promote the positives about saving for the future, Jay? Or Matt, you're nodding. You're nodding in recognition.
Well, here's the one thing that scares me.
Okay.
Or scared me back then. Graduating without a job, having over $28,000 in student loan debt, and have no plan in place on how to repay that. And just defaulting on my loans. We read about it all the time. I mean, just recently it was shared with us that student loan debt has surpassed credit card debt. That's remarkable. And it's scary, really. It just goes to show how real this issue can be. And when you're talking about debt of that size at 6%, you're asking someone right out of college to come up with $350 a month on top of a rental payment and groceries.
412-246-2002, if you'd like to participate in the conversation. We have Jeff in Oakland who wanted to join us. Jeff, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi.
Hello. Go ahead with your comment or question.
So I just heard a minute ago one of your speakers say that students, if you have a passion like theater arts or something, should, you know, take that as a double major. And I was wondering if anyone on your panel kind of would like to speak to whether or not it's the responsibility of the universities to have students, maybe if you're in a less marketable major, maybe have programs within that major to help them market better skills. Because I think telling a theater arts student to then double major in business seems a little bit unreasonable.
Well, it's a great question. And how much of the advice should come from someone at the university, much in the same way that it might come at the high school level from a counselor, Gene?
And I'm going to actually compliment Jay with the answer here. Because this, and Jeff, to your question, this is a subject that impacts everyone independent of major. So why is Money 101 not being taught to every theater major? it should be. So, I think to your answer, it is the responsibility of the school to teach the subject. Jay recognizes this and has been working very hard to make it school-wide at Pitt. Jay, I'll let you interject there.
Yeah, just speaking to the caller, I don't think it's unreasonable at all to think about having a double major in exactly what I said, which was theater arts and business. These kinds of things are available. You've got to think a little creatively. You may have to take a few more credits than you normally would. But just think about the fact that the theater and show business and cinema is, in fact, a business. So why couldn't somebody pursue their passion, let's say, in theater arts, and also try to understand the business side of it? Because then you've got this fuller range of skills and capabilities that you can bring to what your passion is. And we see more and more students doing this. Frankly, I don't think it's the total responsibility of, let's say, the university to do this. One of the things that we see, and this is coming out more and more in research, is that liberal arts students, those majoring in, may be majoring in political science or history or whatever, are actually not that far behind at all. And in some cases, they're actually ahead in their ability to get a job after graduation than even, in some cases, business students or, let's say, engineering students. What it really boils down to, I think more importantly than anything, is the student doing two things. And we tell students this all the time. I don't mean just we at the business school, but everywhere around the university, and Matt can certainly second this. We tell students you have to get good grades. If you don't get good grades, you are not going to be marketable. And the second thing is you've got to have internships. You've got to get yourself out there, get involved in the system, because they're available. There's all kinds of internships that are available. If you do those two things, you're going to be marketable, and you're going to have a job, you're going to be able to pay back your loans, and you're going to be able to build some wealth.
Well, let me ask Matt about that. Normally, an employer, when they look at somebody's resume, I guess the assumption that we have is that they'll look to see look at your background, your educational background. What college did you attend? Did you get your degree? As Jay is saying, and I'm not doubting what you're saying, Jay, but are they looking at the grades? Is an employer really parsing through a transcript of somebody's GPA?
Maybe not necessarily the transcript, but if you look at a resume's format, at the top you have your college or whatever your education level is at the time, and then you have a GPA listed next to it. People look at that. Everyone does. And then from there you kind of go down the resume, see what your experience is.
Yeah, Paul, I can tell you, we have a lot of employers that recruit at the College of Business Administration at Pitt, a lot. And I can tell you that probably 75% of them have cutoffs for GPAs. If you don't meet those cutoffs, they won't even interview you.
That's right, yeah.
Well, as we get to the final couple minutes left in this statement, I'll just kind of go around the table here. If you had one bit of advice to students, what would it be? Gene, I'll start with you.
To the students, I would say start now. And to the parents of the students, I'd say talk with your kids.
And Matt?
With that said, boil it down to three manageable goals. Don't try to overwhelm yourself with what your financial planning goals are.
And Jay?
I say, get involved and educate yourself. You really need to be responsible and take control for your finances.
We've been talking about financial literacy for students. It is Financial Literacy Month, and there's an event being held on the Pitt campus again on Friday. A student panel on financial literacy at the University of Pittsburgh called Money 101 Taking Control, where college and high school students from around the region share their financial planning stories. Gene Natale Jr., Jay Sukitz, and Matt Sowers, thank you all for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks for having us.
Coming up, from breakup moons to conscious uncoupling, what's behind the new terminology of ending a marriage? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.